Well, you going to help me preach tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand for the reading of the Word. I trust I'll not be lengthy tonight. They tell me one way to know if you're in for some lengthy sermons at camp meeting is that the pews have RV camper hookups. I didn't see any when I came in, so you might be off the hook tonight. Praise the Lord. But I want to say thank you, a big thank you to Brother Miller for inviting us and all of those that had part in this meeting and throughout this week. The hospitality, the accommodations, splendid. Splendid, just great, and I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Come with me to 2 Kings tonight. 2 Kings. It is so good to see all of these ministers in the house tonight and the areas in which they are laboring for God. And it's good to see all of the young people. I was blessed by every song. Praise the Lord. And I really want to, this is what I heard was a youth rally, so if you're under 30 years of age, slip your hand up tonight. If you're under 30, slip your hand up. Good. Good. Great. Let's give them a hand, shall we? This is a great generation. Great generation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19 is where I want to direct our attention tonight for a few moments. 2 Kings 13, verses 14 through 19. Praise the Lord. If you're there, say amen. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice. How many times? Thrice. And stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten, how many? Five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. But thrice. I want to share with you a thought tonight, just simply calling it the Joash generation. The Joash generation. Shall we pray together? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand here. Your word is instruction to us, and I'm asking, Lord, I need inspiration, I need unction and anointing to apply the instruction to our lives. Use me as a vessel behind your great cross. Meet us in the altars in a matter of a few moments, I pray. Challenge our hearts, O Lord, in this evening service, in Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. The famous prophet Elisha anointed successor to Elijah and known as the great double portion prophet. You remember that? Huh? It is now in the last hours of his life. Elisha has done greater works than Elijah, not better, but more in abundance, because he did receive a double portion. Elijah, we know, is accredited with 16 miracles. Elisha is accredited with 32, perfect double portion, correct? Praise God. But now Elisha, the Bible says, is sick unto death. The great giant of faith had done so many miracles in his lifetime, and even one more after his death, if you remember that. after his death. Wow, wouldn't that be great? Huh? And notice now he is going to die from an illness, and this really only proves that all men die equally, right? And as he lays on his deathbed, he's visited by the weeping king of Israel by the name of Joash. King Joash knows that Israel is about to enter a very terrifying new era. It's going to be a terrifying era because, unlike Elijah, Elisha has no successor. And Elisha has now prophesied for about 65 years, but now he's in his 80s and there's been no one step forward and receive the anointing to be God's voice for the next generation. That is a scary place. Huh? King Joash approaches Elisha and exclaims, "Oh, father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Now remember that these are the exact words that Elisha had exclaimed many, many years before as he saw his predecessor Elijah ascend to heaven in a whirlwind. All right, and it was a fairly common expression I learned in ancient Israel, and it's expressing the fact that Joash knew that Elisha was the real power behind the country of Israel, and his contact with God had accomplished more than Israel's armies ever could have accomplished. And in essence, the king was saying that Elisha had been the mighty defender of all of Israel. And one commentator renders the king's words as a great compliment to say to the fact something like this. He was saying, "Lord," he said, "when Elisha shows up, God shows up with him everywhere he's at." Wouldn't that be a great compliment for every preacher, every pastor, every child of God, every believer? When he shows up, God shows up in the room. Huh? Oh, hallelujah. But Elisha, notice the text here. He has no patience for nice compliments. He's a man who knows he has very few minutes left. They're numbered. He's a man who knows that he has appointment with eternity, and now it's very imminent. So he doesn't even acknowledge the compliment of the king. He begins to quickly bark out orders. Notice this. Take the bow. Take the arrow. Put your hand on the bow. Open the window eastward and shoot. Why was he to shoot eastward? Well, Syria, the enemy, was east of Joash, and this whole symbolic act declares that God uses people, my friend, to accomplish His will on this earth. And listen, the bow and arrows were symbols of human instruments, and when Elisha placed his hands on the hands of this young king, this should have alerted young Joash that the aged prophet wanted to convey a blessing on this king, wanted to pray for him that he would know how to lead in this next generation. And I believe this could have been the man to pick up that mantle because he was in a great place of influence. But notice, young King Joash was not alert. He did not understand that fact. And so when Elisha put his hands on Joash's hands, he was trying to tell the king that he would not have to rely on his own strength. When the anointing, my friend, is on you, just obey God, and your weakness will be empowered by the hands of one that's greater than yourself. Yes, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "My strength is made perfect in His weakness." For my strength, and we can only succeed, generation, as God strengthens us. And in this time, I want you to notice the king's hands were to be made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Elisha. Now the king willingly, notice through the text, he complies with each direct request of this feeble prophet, fulfilling everything that he is demanding. But suddenly and unexpectedly, King Joash is put to the greatest test, which I believe forever marked his character and would alter the very future of the nation in which he was going to rule. And notice, he is told to take the arrow and smite the ground. And the young king pauses. I think he was a little uncertain exactly what what to do here. And so you see, until this moment, the prophet's instructions have been very straightforward, very detailed. He has been told exactly what to do, how to do it. But now, this time is going to be different. If there really is a prophetic significance in these arrows of deliverance, then it must matter right now how this young man proceeds to fulfill this words of obedience. Now notice, Joash is no doubt beginning to sense that somehow in his hands is the destiny of his life, is the destiny of the nation in which he rules. And so notice this, the teacher Elisha grows silent. All of heaven waits, holding their breath to see what this pupil Joash has learned. And here is the king's reaction unto the prophet's instructions. He took his arrow, the Bible says, and what did he do? Count with me. You're doing good. Praise God. Now what do I do? That's the king's response. Now what do I do? The king stops and he thinks, oh, listen tonight, church. Do you sense destiny? Or do you just see the arrows? Have you decided to smite the kingdom of darkness through absolute determination and genuine passion for God? Or do you just have a few memorized prayers? A few memorized sermons? Huh? That you fire at the enemy from time to time? Oh, listen, they say only time will tell. That is true, but here's a greater truth. Only you, young person, can tell what time will tell. Huh? And at that very moment when the miraculous could have happened, Joash fumbled the ball and settled for the mediocre and the mundane. With half-hearted hands, he took the arrows and he smote the ground once, twice, three times. And then the Bible says he stopped. He then turned his head to look for the great prophet's approval. Huh? Oh, but Elisha, this elderly man of God, roused himself in a holy anger, huh? And shouted in spite of his sickness. He said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, when and then thou wouldest smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. But he said, whereas thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Listen, this is how he should have done it. Come on. Huh? Let me hear somebody say amen. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, suddenly Joash realizes to his shame that the first arrow that he shot out the window was truly a prophetic act, but the remaining arrows were purely and simply and entirely a test of his determination as a man of God. It was a test of his zeal. It was a test of his spiritual passion. Syria now will not totally be defeated, only smitten 3 times. The unnecessary battles and pointless skirmishes will rage on for generations and generations, even unto modern days, my friend, because Joash took his place on the stage of time without any determination and with half of his heart and the bare minimum of obedience, the God displeasing mentality of mediocrity. He fulfilled what he was asked to do. God's not asking for status quo. Status quo is satanic in this last day. God's looking for a generation that will rise above and say, I'm looking for a new thing. I need to accomplish more for God than mama did or daddy did.
Come here, Pastor. He's accomplished a lot in his life. Oh, hallelujah. But you know what? Come here. And it's good to meet you, guy. Oh. Father and son, right? Oh, my. But here's Dad's level. But I believe in the last days. In the last days. You've done great things. Great things. Oh, if I could just measure up to this man. Huh? But here's another generation that God is saying, Papa was here, but you've got to ask me to take you up here. Where Daddy and Mama was here. Devil knows his time is short, and he's working harder on the church than ever before. And so we better have the determination to shoot a little higher than Mom and Daddy did. Oh, this is tragic as young Joash misses the greatest opportunity for a miracle that he ever could have witnessed. In the words of the psalmist in 78:41, Joash limited the Holy One of Israel. But isn't God sovereign? Yes. But His sovereignty does not limit our responsibility as the younger generation. Because God has chosen to work through human vessels the way each one of us approach our relationship to God becomes eternally important. And this is all the prophet could handle. Notice with me, soon this prophet falls back on his bed. His body is wrecked by the fiery burst of anger. In the very next verse from our text, verse 20 records his death and burial. And we are left to assume that his frustration with young King Joash may have been a major factor in his swift demise. I don't know. But now the question is tonight, church, what was it that made Elisha so angry with this young king? I think I know. I believe it was the fact that he sensed in that new generation a lack of spiritual passion. He sensed a lack of spiritual determination. Oh. You see, Elisha himself was just a young man like him one time. And when his opportunity to make a difference came along, he stepped up to bat. He was plowing in the field, you know the story, working hard, when Elijah found him and threw his mantle over his shoulders. And right then Elisha, the Bible says, left his old life in a moment's notice and served Elijah in obscurity for many years, ministering unto him. And over that time, his passionate determination and desire for the ministry grew and grew. And so when it became obvious that his mentor would soon be leaving him, Elisha, when you read it, you find him sticking to him like glue, buddy. In spite of the smug mockery of the sons of the prophets who were content in their complacency, this young man followed Elijah through Gilgal, then to Bethel, and then to Jericho, and then finally to the Jordan River. And finally, after years of obscurity and humility that others thought were totally extreme, after years of discipline that everyone else deemed unnecessary, we find Elisha steps into the stage of time and takes a single moment in the spotlight of divine destiny. And you see, when the test came, Elisha was ready without a moment's notice. When his mentor asked him, "What shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee?" that young man replied. He didn't have to think about this one. He said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And for more than half a century, Elisha lived out that spiritual passion and determination. That's why he is so frustrated with this young king, Joash, who became the patron saint of mediocrity. Why? Because he had youth. He had strength. He had time. He had ability. He had, most of all, opportunity for great influence. But Joash, Joash, you wasted it all because you did not try hard enough. Didn't try hard enough. Didn't have enough determination, man. Now, let me bring it in here. Church, the spirit of young King Joash is very much alive in this generation. It's alive. And it's going to take concerted effort to fight against it. If you want to see a deliverance in your personal life, if you want to see a deliverance in your family, you must be determined to see that it happens. That means that in spite of what everyone else around you says, maybe even in your own youth group, you must remain faithful to God. It means that in spite of what your spouse says, you must remain faithful to God. That means that in the trials you go through, you will be tempted to give up. But oh, may you find a little bit of Job's blood down in your veins that says, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust Him." In life, you must choose whether you're going to be a descendant of Joash or Job. Let me tell you a little bit of what Joash's descendants say. I'm sure you've never had them in your church. It's not necessary to make all these sacrifices for God. Can I get by with a little less effort, Pastor? I'm contented with my life the way it is. I really don't want to be wearied by this commitment thing. I don't really think anyone's going to notice if I don't really do my best. The problem with mellowing into mediocrity is that, like Joash, you will never experience what could have been. The poet penned the words, "The saddest words of tongue and pen are the words, what might have been." There are people that live their lives in total regret because they never attempted the impossible. Don't spend your life wondering what if and if only. In the kingdom of God, our passion, church, determines our effectiveness. And the problem with the, a generation is that, and maybe it's this generation, after, you know, three good blessings and three successes and three victories, we think we have it all. And so we try to get by with less effort. And so we settle for the less than God's best. But can I remind us here this evening that we are in charge of the arrows of the Lord? God has given those arrows to us, and they are our talents. We've got talented young men, talented young women, huh? And God, let me tell you, it is through those arrows that God will win spiritual victories in this generation. Just because God has given you one blessing and one promise does not eliminate our responsibility to keep smiting. I went to the altar and I prayed to get deliverance over that habit, but I just can't keep smiting. I tried this before at the last youth camp. Keep smiting. Oh, but I prayed through in the last revival, and here comes another revival. You might have to pray through again. Keep smiting. God's not finished with this generation. The devil has not seen all he's going to see from this generation. We have got to keep smiting. Oh, God is wanting to raise up a generation of passionate, determined men and women who is willing and ready to fight for everything they get. You see, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Now, did you notice? He said, I will give unto you. That's the promise. But you look at that word tread in the Hebrew, and in the Hebrew it actually means bend the bow. In other words, you're going to have to fight for it. Woo! God is saying, I'll give you every place that you're willing to fight for. God is looking for a generation that will make a passionate decision to love God and fight back hell for a lifetime. Oh, God, give us passionate men and women of God in our churches in this generation. I believe Elisha's instructions exposed the king's weak faith, showed his weak character. You've heard the saying, the proof's in the pudding. And Jesus said, I believe it was John chapter 16, 33, he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But he said, in the world you will have tribulation. But he didn't stop there. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus said, even I had to keep smiting. I said, Jesus said, even I had to keep smiting. Woo! God help us. Christ set the example of such great determination for us, church. Determination is the key to our deliverance. Raise your hands and say, God, make me a determined individual. Make me a passionate individual. Church, every morning in Africa, a gazelle awakens and knows it has to run faster than the fastest lion or it's going to be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion awakens and knows it must outrun the swiftest gazelle unless it's going to starve to death. And the saying goes, it matters not whether you're a lion or a gazelle. What matters is that when the sun comes up, you had better be passionate about running. Woo! Huh? He says, run with determination. Serve with determination. Attend God's house with determination. Commit to moral purity with determination. God's not looking for a Joash generation. Huh? He's looking for a passionate one. Ooh. You see, Joash took a golden opportunity and turned it into a lost opportunity because he lacked the passion. Our passion is all but quenched many times when we talk about what God used to do. This present generation too often gets stuck in a cycle of apathy. I'm talking about my generation. We believe little because we have seen so little. And we have seen so little because we have believed so little. I told my church at the beginning of this year, I said, don't be surprised if we start doing some new things. That's not the way we've done it. We've been at this location for 52 years. I'm not talking about worldly stuff. No. And don't be surprised if you say, well, wow, we've never done that here at Broadway Assembly before. Good. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. Hallelujah. In this present generation, if only we had the faith. I think God's wanting to do something new, but we've got to get past that third time. You've got to show God you really mean business. If only we had faith to smite the ground 2 or 3 more times. If only you and I would trust God for the victories in our life despite every odd. You need a blessing in your life. How bad do you want it? You need a solution to your problem. How bad do you want it? You need an answer to a question in your mind. How bad do you want it? You want to know that the Lord loves you and that you love Him at a greater level than you've ever experienced in your life. How bad do you want it? You want a deeper relationship with God. Listen, you want an anointed ministry more than you've ever had experienced it. How bad do you want it? You want the gift of the Holy Ghost in Pentecost with speaking in other tongues as the sign evident. How bad do you want it tonight? Listen, is there an Esther in this place tonight who would lay her life on the line and petition the King of Kings to spare her family from spiritual annihilation? Is there an Abraham tonight who would be willing to stand between God and his lost family and plead for their salvation? Listen, is there a Joshua tonight who will stand against the crowd and say, no, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Stand with me, I'm closing. Is there a Moses tonight who will say, I chose Christ and I chose Him above the pleasures of Egypt? Is there marked men and women tonight who will cry out in travail for God to birth a genuine passion and determination in their life? If you're one of them, would you raise your hand right now? I feel the presence of God in the house tonight. Ooh, shitalalabakasatada. Jesus. You know what? I grew up on an old hymn that said, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. Woo! Jesus is with on Him I can depend. No, it's not in your own self. It's not in your own strength. But no. You've got one that said, I will be with you and I shall speak through you. Oh, and if you'll just serve me with passionate determination, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is there anybody willing to smite again tonight? Is there anybody willing to smite again tonight? Would you leave your seat? Would you leave your seat? If you're willing to smite again tonight, I feel the presence of God. Sister, brother, are you willing to smite again tonight? Who will take the arrows tonight of the Lord's deliverance in your life and say, God,
I am determined. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on Him I can depend, and I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on Him I can depend, and I know I have salvation. I feel it in my soul.